Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The play American Mariachi is in the midst of its Chicago debut. Now through October 24th, it's playing at the Goodman Theater, a co-production with the Dallas Theater Center and part of the Chicago Latino Theater Alliance's Destinos Festival. American Mariachi was written by Jose Cruz Gonzalez, who wrote it after 10 years worth of music lessons at California State University in Los Angeles. The show recalls the sounds of Gonzalez's childhood. Set in the 1970s, it tells the story of a young woman, Lucha, caring for her mother, Amalia, who is suffering from dementia. One day, Lucha plays a record of mariachi songs, and it jogs her mother's memory and inspires Lucha to start an all-female mariachi band, something that would have been unheard of back in the 1970s. Here's a scene of Lucha trying to convince one of her friends to come along.
You really want to do this? I miss singing with you, prima. And we used to harmonize pretty good together. Lo abandoné porque era you got some big cojones, cuz.
No. What do you say?
Morale!
Have to look for singers and musicians.
Yeah, we can try the schools, or better yet, the churches. I mean, there's so many of them.
We'll need a guitar, a trumpet, a violin, a vihuela, and a guitarrón.
Putting together a mariachi band. This is so badass, prima.
We're doing it for Ama.
Yeah, we're doing it for ourselves.
We're doing it because we're...
Mujeres!
The play is filled with mariachi music and includes members of the Chicago-based ensemble Sones de México, who perform alongside the actors. Joining us to talk more about American Mariachi is the play's director, Henry Godinez. He's a Goodman Theater resident artistic associate, director of the Latino Theater Festival, and a professor of theater at Northwestern University. Henry Godinez, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. So nice to be with you this morning.
So American Mariachi was supposed to begin its run at the Dallas Theater Center last year, starting March 14th. And astute listeners will remember that's the same week the NBA suspended its season, Governor Pritzker announced school closures here in Illinois, and many of our lives came to a halt. What was that like for you and everyone else involved with the production?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it was the weirdest feeling I think I've ever had. We got to our final dress rehearsal on the evening of March 13th. The night before, at our final tech rehearsal, we always have something we call tech notes at the end of those long days of tech rehearsals. And that evening, about 11:30, the artistic director came in and said, Dallas County is shutting everything down, and tomorrow will be our last day before we have to send you home. So for that final dress rehearsal, they brought in four cameras and they recorded it. And they sent us home that Saturday, the 14th. And I remember walking home that Friday night, the 13th, after that dress rehearsal with the most profoundly sad feeling, and just like the rug had been just ripped out from under us. And then I stopped halfway back to the apartment that they had us staying in. And I thought, oh my gosh, literally every single colleague that I have, every person I know in the theater, and not just in America, but around the world, is experiencing the exact same thing today. No matter where they were in their process, I knew that all of us were having to stop. And we didn't know for how long. So it was really... it was a very, very, very strange feeling, as I'm sure many, many of your listeners had in their own particular way.
Yeah. What was the past year like for those in the theater industry?
Oh, man, it was devastating because, you know, we were the first to close and we've been the last to reopen. But, you know, if nothing else, theater people are incredibly resourceful. And, you know, stories have to be told. And so we all looked for different ways to deliver those stories to audiences that needed to hear stories. People needed to be connected to the world in a way that wasn't just news and updates about the virus and about, oh, goodness gracious, I hate to say it, but all the deaths and illnesses. So people got really creative. We did Zoom readings, we did virtual you know, pre-recorded, you know, readings and productions of plays. I directed a play in Washington, D.C. at a theater there that was filmed on the stage in a theater with no audience, and then they streamed it to their audiences. And the coolest thing is I here in Chicago, we were supposed to do a play that fall of 2020, just before the election, called Fannie, about the life of Fannie Lou Hamer, who was an amazing voting rights activist in Mississippi in the 1960s. And it was this really wonderful one woman show with all this great, you know, music, spirituals, and civil rights era songs. And, you know, we had to postpone it. But I just couldn't live with not doing that play before the election. So I thought about an amazing mentor of mine named Luis Valdez, who in the 1960s started a company in California called Teatro Campesino. And they took little skits on the back of pickup trucks out into the migrant fields to educate migrant workers about their rights to unionize, the dangers of pesticides and all this stuff. And he would always say, you know, sometimes when the people can't come to the theater, you have to take the theater to the people. And so we did that. We took Fannie and we did an abridged version, and we took it on a trailer through like 8 or 9 different parks in the city of Chicago. And we partnered with the park district and the city, and it was amazing. And we did it outside in the parks for free, for audiences that probably would never typically go to the Goodman Theater in downtown Chicago. And I have to say that was one of the most gratifying things about this whole pandemic, was getting to do something like that. It was cool.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Henry Godinez, who's the director of a play called American Mariachi, which is at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. He's also a professor at Northwestern University. Turning now to the play itself, can we talk a little bit about mariachi music, right? It dates back to the 1800s. I understand it was traditionally dominated by men. Can you talk about the place of mariachi music in the culture?
Absolutely. You know, it is kind of the musical heartbeat of Mexican culture. And you're right, it was first kind of developed in the early 1800s. And it was absolutely traditionally all male. It was handed down from father to son, not unlike other great cultural traditions, like, say, in Japan, kabuki, you know, which is a very male-dominated art form that was handed down father to son. And it wasn't until, well, I guess in the 50s, in the 60s, you started to see some female mariachi bands, 40s, maybe even the 40s in Mexico, but very rare, very rare. And in the United States, not at all. Until the 70s, you started to see some, with, of course, the advent of women's lib and all that. And that's pretty much what the play centers on, is, you know, this young woman who, you know, for the sake of her mom, who was a lover of music and mariachi music, and always dreamed of being a mariachi musician, her mom is suffering from dementia. And she discovers this song that actually brings her out of her dementia. And so they decide to start a band to be able to play this song for her mom. So it's really a beautiful story about female empowerment, about creating new traditions, about, you know, disregarding labels and boxes that especially women tend to be put into, and especially in Latin American culture. So it's really cool. It's beautiful, beautiful music throughout too.
Ellos me quieren mirar, ya salerosa. Besar tus labios quisiera.
Ver. And the music is really integral to the production. And I mentioned earlier the group Sones de Mexico Ensemble, based out of Chicago, plays music with the cast. I understand the cast had to learn instruments. What yes. was the process like for the actors?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. These are these five women that that are the heart of the play and that become the band are all wonderful actresses, and they all sing beautifully. And they're all very musical, but they had to learn to play the trumpet, the violin, the guitarrón, which is the big bass sort of guitar, acoustic bass, the vihuela, which is the smaller guitar, and then the guitar. All five of them had to learn these instruments. And God bless them, they did. The Goodman provided them with lessons, mostly through Sones de Mexico, or this amazing Grammy-nominated ensemble that we're working with. You know, in a way, you know, one of the silver linings of this crazy pandemic has been that it gave the women 18 extra months
sure.
to really refine their musical skills with these instruments. But yeah, it's crazy. And there is this mariachi band, all male, typical mariachi band that is composed of members from Sones de Mexico. And they're sort of this meta theatrical spiritual guide for the women that weaves in and out of the play, and they support them. You know, the women are not really aware of their presence in the play, but they're sort of this all-seeing, you know, presence that guides us and them through the play, and they're amazing, really amazing.
So I also understand that the writer, Jose Gonzalez, brought some of his own personal struggles into the play. His mother,
yes.
like the character Amalia, also suffered from dementia. Can you talk about working on something that's so personal to the writer?
Absolutely. It is very personal for him. And Jose is one of the kindest, most big-hearted people, literally, that I know and have ever met. And that those qualities shine through the play. They are like, I think that's part of what has made the play so successful. It's been done at other places around the country. This is the first time ever in Chicago and our own unique production of it. But it's very, very personal for him. Not just, you know, as you said earlier, the fact that he trained for 10 years in learning mariachi, but this connection to his mom. And you know, I have to say that my own mother also suffered from dementia in the last couple of years of her life. And in the play, the mother is referred to as Mamita, which is a fairly common sort of nickname for a mom, you know, as in English, we would say mom or hey, mommy or whatever. And that's what we called my mom my whole life. That's all I ever called her, actually. I don't think I ever called her mom or anything else. We just called her Mamita. So it's been really super personal for me as well, you know, but it's cathartic. It's cathartic for us as theater artists to work on it. And so far in watching audiences during preview, I can tell you it's cathartic for the audiences as well. You know, people cry, people laugh, and I think it's what we need right now coming out of the pandemic, you know, to just sort of like, you know, just kind of cleanse ourselves emotionally. And it's really rewarding in that way.
Well, Henry Godinez, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today on the 21st.
Oh, you're so welcome, Brian. It's my pleasure. And I appreciate you supporting us with your interest in American Mariachi.
Henry Godinez is a professor of theater at Northwestern University. He's a Goodman Theater resident artistic associate and director of the Latino Theater Festival, and he is the director of American Mariachi, now playing at the Goodman Theater through October 24th. At our website, 21stshow.org, we'll have more information and some images from American Mariachi, as well as information on how to purchase tickets if you're interested. Again, that's at 21stshow.org. And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to sign up for our texting group. You can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. You can also find how to do that on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also click a link to sign up for our podcast. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just search for The 21st. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.